my slideshow. There we go. So this is Mr. and Mrs. Greenman. I never knew Mr. Greenman. I knew Mrs. Greenman until I was about 6 years old. They started their lives in Pine River, a little town to the north and to the east of us, and just solid, good people. When Miss Greenman, let's go to the next slide. When Miss Greenman, who's in the light blue of this folder, or this photo, was 3 years old, she and her mom and dad moved to the Bluebird Hill Farm, in which Miss Greenman then lived the rest of her life. It's quite possible that Mrs. Greenman was with child upon moving to the farm, and that child was Irma. And Irma, as I mentioned, would grow to become an expert in manufacturing. But it's very interesting how, oh, and then Delbert, so the young man, he was like a total shock to the Greenman system. You have Miss Greenman born, and then Irma's born 3 years later, and then 12 years later, Delbert was born. So he was kind of a surprise. They never talked about that, but one has to wonder that 12 years later, what kind of news that was when Mrs. Greenman told Mr. Greenman. But these folks were truly part of our church. And a really interesting note about how they arrived at our church. So we have records that Mr. and Mrs. Greenman went to a conservative congregational church somewhere between Pine River and Red Granite. And then they switched to a Free Methodist church that was in Pine River. And then that church, through just kind of the building and the growing of the body of Christ, it came to a financial crisis and it was closing. And it was just at that time where a young lady named Elois Engel, who was motivated by her desire to win a camera for a Sunday school contest for inviting the most people to church, happened to invite Mr. and Mrs. Greenman to church. And this happened sometime between 1955 and 1959. And I talked to Mrs. Elois Engel about it yesterday, and she couldn't recall exactly, but she recalled how badly she wanted the camera and that she was inviting everyone. And so, young people, I want you to know that even though you're very young, from here on out, you affect eternity. Because that's what's happened here with Mrs. Engel inviting this family to come to church. So they came in the 50s, and also in attendance at that time was Mr. and Mrs. Guskey. And Mr. Guskey and Mr. Greenman, Delbert Greenman, they went to school together to County Normal, and together they taught at Winneconne Public Schools no less than 35 years each. So that's quite a heritage. And Mrs. Guskey and Mr. Guskey, they've been married 60 years now. So this is the kind of timeline we're talking. There were very few of us around at that time. And so it's some wonderful things to talk about that. And so they lived their entire lives on this farm in Pine River, known as Bluebird Hill. And so something really important about this and us understanding their lives is Hebrews 13, 14 to 16. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share to those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. You know, I came across this next photo about passing into eternity. So I want you to understand that this family had a very unique relationship with the church here. Mr. Engel back here, Mr. Engel, received a phone call one evening, and it was from the Greenman family. At that time, all five of them were living at the farmhouse. And they said, "We need you to come. Mr. Greenman, the elder senior Mr. Greenman, is not feeling well, and we need you to take him to the hospital." And Mr. Engel helped Mr. Greenman up the stairs. Mr. Engel showed me exactly where that was in the old farmhouse. I remember helping him up, Mr. Engel described. We barely got him into the car, and on their way to the hospital, Mr. Greenman died. Okay, so that's how close the Engels and the Greenmans were. The Engels and the Rileys were sort of close. They lived together a lot throughout their history, but the Rileys and the Greenmans were close like this. The last living member of the Greenman family passed away over here at the home. I can't remember the name, but my dad was holding Miss Greenman's hand when she passed away, when she went on into eternity. So this is the kind of relationship the church had with them. You couldn't help but love them. They were so giving, they were so warm, and they were so kind. But I'll never forget, my dad called me. It was about 9 o'clock in the evening or thereabouts, and he said, "Miss Greenman passed away." And I said to my dad, "It's appointed unto man to die once." And that's a fact for all of us to contemplate today. It's appointed unto man to die once. And my dad, whenever I say that to him, he always replies back, "And then comes the judgment." I'm like, wow. Great, I guess we're both depressed. We've lost a good friend. But I want us to think about that, because this is a fact. Today we're celebrating Memorial Day and the sacrifices of many who have been made over the eons of time of our great country and this great land. People have given that we can gather in this place of worship. And whether we like it or not, we're all going to die. Unless Jesus comes, that is going to happen. And it shouldn't be a surprise to any of us. Now, of course, it's a surprise when that person is, you know, a youngster, and we think that this is not right. But even so, it can come as a surprise when somebody who you just talked to on the corner and they're, you know, aged, whatever the case may be, and their life ends and you go, wow, what a surprise. But it's a fact. It's appointed unto us to die, and then comes to the judgment. And I want to talk just a moment about the judgment. If you would mark this in your Bible to read later, Matthew 25:31-46, it's about that final judgment. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on the right side and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me.' And then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And then the king will answer them and say, 'Truly I say to you, as you did to one of these, the least of my brothers, you did it to me.' And then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' And then they will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you?' And then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of these least, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So the big takeaway from this final judgment is that the hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. These are the people in our charge. These are the ones the Lord has called us to care for. And we ought to take it seriously because it's the criterion upon which we're going to be judged. It says so right here in the Bible. So let's talk about the agreement some more. So I want you to take this lesson of the final judgment home with you. So these were three students, or three young people, and they were growing up and they had a wonderful life. And they were hardworking people known for their expertise in education. Both Delbert and Miss Greenman received awards from the state of Wisconsin recognizing their expertise in education. There is a foundation that has been gifted both to Atoma Schools and to Winneconne Schools, well over $300,000 to support this scholarship fund. Right? And so they were recognized for that. Irma was recognized for her expertise in manufacturing. They were expert gardeners. And they served on several societies, including a birdwatching society in which Mr. Greenman was recognized as the person who helped tabulate the final counts of various bird species, mapping them on the state of Wisconsin map. And so in some bird books, when you read and this species appears here and there, Delbert was part of that, and he received an award from the Audubon Society for a lifetime achievement and from the Department of Natural Resources for the same thing. They also had this uncanny collecting ability. They collected bells, and Mr. Engel put in my charge their bell collection to auction it and sell it off, and I worked with a internet person, and we sold well over $8,000 worth of bells, and almost all of that went into BGMC last year and the year before, right here out of Wautoma, because we thought it would be cool to give it towards something that represent children, and we knew their love of it. So that was their layup of their expertise. I remember visiting Miss Greenman, and especially when she moved to the home nearby, and I'd say, "How you doing, Miss Greenman?" And she'd say, "I have cancer, you know." And that was just a common, she would say that, "I have cancer, you know." It was very serious. It was very difficult. But their home was this warm and inviting place filled with various collectibles worthy of a museum. And one day, Mrs. Engel was in charge of their estate. Mrs. Engel came in and Miss Greenman said this, "You know, I feel sorry for you. I have so much junk in my house. You have a lot of work to do." Mr. and Mrs. Engel and their family have worked for well over 4 years to settle the estate since the Greenmans have been gone. It's been a lot of work. One of the things that the Greenmans really wanted, they wanted their entire farm to stay as one. And that made it an entirely difficult sale altogether. But Mr. Engel, I want to thank you especially because I know this has been a tremendous burden for you to bear for so many years. And God bless you. But, you know, it reminds me of Matthew 6:19-20. "Do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal." Miss Greenman was right when she told Mrs. Engel, "I feel sorry for you because it was a lot of work. At one time, there were 6 very large dumpsters sitting outside the farm complex, and everybody was loading everything into it." Miss Greenman had purchased a lovely new couch in the last few years of her life, and the teams had moved it out for storage in the garage. And within a week or so, a bunch of red squirrels had made a nest and completely destroyed. I guess that's what they get for not buying the couch at the Bovies. I don't know. I don't know if they bought it there or not. It was just a joke, okay? But Miss Greenman, even in her last days, had a beautiful flower or a sunroom, and flowers, the fragrant aroma filled it, and it reminded me of 1 Peter 1:24 and 25. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. You know, one of the wonderful things about being part of the Greenman's lives and having them be part of ours was that the Greenman family hosted elaborate banquets. And it was amazing. They had collected china and silver. And when they'd call you over to your house, I remember my mom would say, "Now you got to dress up. You're going to the Greenman's house." So we all had to dress up to go there for dinner. And they'd lay out an elaborate table. One time they took the Ingle family on a picnic. They went to the zoo. And on their way home, the Greenman family hosted this. They just kept bringing food out of the trunk of the car. And they found out which Ingle boy liked which flavor of soda. And they made sure and had, you know, like six bottles of soda for each of them. And I fear it was a rough ride for the Ingles on the way home when the boys were all sugared up. But very interestingly, the Greenmans treasured that day because upon their passing, looking through all the stuff they had saved was a thank you note that Mrs. Ingle had written to say thanks. That mattered to them. So they had these elaborate meals, and it was wonderful, and they planned these great holiday trips. By holiday, I mean what they did with their summer vacation. And they would pore over encyclopedias and brochures, and they would write various places and say, "Hey, we're coming, and we'd like to see this, that, or the other thing," and it was tremendous. And always the aftermath of those holidays was that many people were invited to their home, and they would set up a slide program, and we'd watch these beautiful photos and display and so forth. And Delbert had an organ that would rival the one that used to be here at the church in their sitting room. And every now and then he'd sit at it and crank away a song, and it was just totally inspirational. The whole house would shake when he'd hit some of the low notes. It was just a fantastic thing. I think often how remarkable it was that when a president of the United States would visit Wisconsin, the Greenmans would go see them. And they would write a letter to the president before he would arrive, and the president would often see them. And George W. Bush wrote them and said, "It was so nice to see and visit you at the airport in Appleton." And you think about that, it's the Greenmans. Proverbs 22:29, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings." I'm not saying that George was a king, but you know what I mean. They sought to the help of orphans in far-off lands, and they did so. And Matthew 25:40 tells us, "Truly I say to you, as you did to the least of one of these, you did it to me." James 1:27, "A religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unstained by the world." You know, something that I've been particularly comforted with is this whole concept that when we pray, our prayers are actually stored in heaven. And I believe that, I mean, altar time at our church over the years has been like a pivotal moment. It's been so important, central to everything that we were doing. Revelation 5:8, "Golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial to God." Peter tells Cornelius in Acts 10:4, "They were our family. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. They had these picnics. They would often send gifts to children far away. My children knew the Greenmans in their early days as the Green People because they couldn't say Greenmans. And I'll tell you something. Like the Greenmans, there are many others who really are the foundation of this church, and I miss them. Not that I don't love you and like being around you. Don't take this wrong at all. But there was Harley Monroe and Sylvia Lackholt, and there was the Cashels, and there was the Looms, and so forth. And I'm encouraged, Deuteronomy 32:7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. Hebrews 10:32, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. They were a part of us. They really were a part of us. And we were family. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. And so today, we're going to take a moment and honor them. I have sitting here now a plaque, and with the board and the Riley and Engel family, we submitted to the board that we would like to dedicate the building in the Greenman's honor, calling it the Greenman Ministry Center. In your bulletins is a copy of this plaque, and I would like to read its inscription. Genevieve May, Irma Lois, and Delbert Edward were the children born from the union of Delbert Avery Greenman and Lila May Caswell Greenman. This family lived nearly their entire lives on a farm in Pine River known as Bluebird Hill. They were a hardworking people known for their expertise in education, manufacturing, gardening, bird watching, and bell collecting. Their home was a warm and inviting place with varieties or various collectibles worthy of a museum. The fragrant aroma of beautiful flowers filled their sunroom. Elaborate meals and picnics were served from their kitchen. An organ in the sitting room and slideshows of last summer's holiday vacation provided hours of entertainment and inspiration for anyone blessed to have been a guest. They corresponded with presidents of the United States. They saw to the care of many orphans in far-off lands. Their prayers have been stored in heaven, from which many still reap the benefits. Upon their passing to glory, the Greenman family name ceased to exist. Parenthetically, I want to add this. So the Greenmans went to visit a Civil War battlefield. On that battlefield was a large granite stone with the name Greenman. And Delbert said when he flashed that slide, he said, as far as we know, and I would say in my research, I agree that when Miss Greenman passed away, there are no living relatives of the family name Greenman. So there are family. So upon their passing to glory, the Greenman family name ceased to exist. They exist, however, in our hearts and our memories. They were a part of us. We were family. And we dedicate this building in their honor this Sunday, May 26, 2019. So with that, we are not going to end this service. Rather, we are going to all make our way to the carport entry. And we are going to burn the mortgage. So with that, Pastor, I'm going to have you lead the way.